thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go, don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
This thing is on, and it is on. It's the Computer Corner.
It's on.
It's on. We thank you for joining us once again as we talk about technology for the next couple of hours. It is the Data Doctors with our sidekick from Mac Media, Lewis.
Sidekick, I like that.
Sidekick.
Yeah, it works. We're like Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. Well, we have a nice collection of cool cars. We could almost pull that off. The problem is we both have dark hair.
Yeah.
And one of us is going to have to go blonde.
anyway.
It is the Computer Corner. We're talking today about something that I believe would be on the minds of a lot of people out there that are contemplating the purchase of a new computer, and that is to switch or not to switch.
That is the question.
Good question.
Is that the question? That is the question for a lot of you out there, and what we're talking about is, should I stick with Windows or should I switch to the Mac operating system that we keep hearing all these wonderful things about?
Absolutely, you should switch.
And all those commercials.
And those commercials are awesome.
For those of you that are absolutely convinced that it's time to switch, consider today's show a switcher's guide. Right?
So or a non-switcher's guide, depending on.
Right, no. But if you plan on switching, then today's show will be very helpful for you so that you think through the process of switching, because it's not as easy as the Mac commercials make it sound, like you just go buy one and boom, everything's beautiful and magic and there's no more hunger in the world and world peace abounds and cancer's been cured. And
a lot of that happens when you switch, I think. No?
Your electricity bill's cut in half.
Something like
no
that.
No car problems.
Yeah. And you're instantly a really cool guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's definite.
At least that's the intent.
They come with a set of sunglasses. You know?
If you're on the fence, if you haven't figured out whether you should switch or not, you're going to be buying a new computer here. We got the big shopping season coming up. You're going to be buying a new computer, and you're kind of on the fence. Should I, shouldn't I? This show is for you. Therefore, you might want to call before someone else closes you out, because these phone lines book up really quick. 602-277-5827. And we'd love to hear from those that have already made the switch. And I don't want to hear about how wonderful things are and whatever. We assume we're going to get that. That's not helpful to the people listening. Okay, great. It's wonderful. I love it. It's great. I can't. It's so amazing. Great.
I think we want to hear some of the obstacles.
The reality is you had to go from the Windows world to the Mac world. And it didn't happen by you buying a machine and plugging it in and everything was cool. Stuff happened. That's the stuff that we want you to talk about. I'm not here to try to talk people out of it. I'm not here to talk people into it. I'm here to talk about, if you are in that camp, what should you be thinking about? Because the worst thing in the world is to go into this thing, buying the machine, and not really understanding all the parts, and then going through 2 or 3 weeks or months of the transition of going, gosh, I wish I'd have thought of this stuff up front. The point of this show always is to try to educate you before you make a decision or before something happens. And those of you that have made the switch, or those of you that made the switch and then switched back, it doesn't matter. Whatever your situation is, your experiences during the switch, what you used as your reasoning for making the switch, all of that information, that's what we want to hear, because that's what's going to help everyone else that's listening. Whether you're thinking about switching now, 6 months from now, this is one of those, hopefully, long-term podcasts, right, that'll stay in the archives in the library. So a year from now, you say, yeah, I think I'm going to switch. Let me go back and listen to that show. That's why we want to hear this stuff, okay? And feel free to call in and say how much more wonderful it is if you're a former Windows user and you're on the Mac. I don't care. That's all good. 602-277-5827. If you are digitally inclined, you can join us online at datadoctors.com/radio, because that's what we're doing here. We're talking on the radio. When you get there, you will see today's offerings. today's topic of to switch or not to switch, and then all of the various links that we have on there that will help you. Everything from my column on things to consider before you switch to very specific feature-by-feature comparisons of Windows 7 and the Mac OS. Switchers' guides, some common issues that people run into when they're switching. Some other information on there, such as the latest numbers on the operating system market share. This is, I love these guys that are talking, you know, in the news. They go, it's the fastest growing segment of the personal computer world. Well, as a percentage, yeah. I mean, if you go from 2.5% to 5% of the market, that's 100% growth, right? Of course you're the fastest growing. You're the smallest group. That's like, you know, it's like going from 0 to 5. That's a 5X increase. Duh. So,
I think we're also going to talk a little bit about the different ways you can run Windows on a Mac to make that transition a little bit easier.
Absolutely. If you're really out there, I don't recommend that the average Joe that uses the computer for surfing the web and what have you think about this. But if you're kind of an intermediate user or, you know, a total nerd, the dual operating system option, because the Mac OS now supports, runs on an Intel processor, so you can run a Mac OS and Windows OS, Windows 7, Windows XP, whatever you want, on the same machine and go back and forth.
See how we skipped over Vista? Just skipped over it.
Vista is dead to me. Vista and Windows ME should have never happened.
Oh, Windows ME.
They're the redheaded stepchild. You know what I'm saying?
ME was fun, though.
My apologies to stepchildren.
I reinstalled
stepchildren.
That several times.
What's that?
I said I loved ME. I reinstalled it several times.
Well, ME stood for many errors, and apparently that was the approach now. The reason Vista got destroyed and why it was just a bad transition is because they basically started over. I mean, the Mac OS, when they went from some of the older generation to a completely new, there were more trials and tribulations doing that. When the Mac,
when we went from OS 9 to OS 10, there were...
Oh, yeah, all kinds of nightmares.
Bugs aplenty.
Okay, but nobody really talked about that. Why is that?
Because we had 5% of the market.
No, you had 2.5%.
Or 2.5%.
At that time, yeah. It was much less than 5%.
And that's the worldwide market. Now, here in the United States, it's more like 10%. It actually... went over 10% here in the last couple of months, I believe. So, I mean, you know, that's a real number. And I'm not discounting the fact that it's a compelling operating system. It's a compelling offer. Generally speaking, it's going to cost you a little more if you're going to compare apples to apples, especially during the price war season. You're going to see some ridiculous prices on Windows 7 and Windows note-based notebooks, netbooks, all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's the theme for today's show. A couple lines open, 602-277-5827. When we come back, we're going to start right into the Switcher's Guide to the Galaxy or something like that. You considering going from the Windows to the Mac OS? This is the show for you. Stay tuned for lots more. Back right after this. The latest operating system market share data available from NetApplications, the website, which we have a link on our website, datadoctors.com/radio, if you want to see this, play around with this data yourself. As of this is October 2009, so we still don't have any updated information. I want to see this like up to the minute. 70% of the world still running Windows XP, about 20% running Vista. Windows 7 as of October 09 was at about 2%, and the Mac OS, if you take 10.5, 10.6 together, looks like right at 4%.
You know, that 20% number kind of surprised me for Vista.
Why?
I don't know. I thought there were more, well, I guess the new computers, but I thought still more people were using XP than that when I saw that figure.
Well, I thought those Vista users would have jumped over to 7 right away.
Well, that's the upgrade. I mean, the number of new machines being bought with or purchased with Windows 7 is a puny comparison to the number of people buying upgrades. Microsoft's making most of their money right now on the upgrades. Because I think, by and large, people have heard enough good things about 7 that are having enough trouble with Vista that they're going, oh, no-brainer.
And the upgrade's pretty painless, too.
Get her done. Well, let me tell you, folks, if you're out there and you're having a problem with a Vista machine, it's doing all kinds of crazy stuff,
The upgrades may go bad.
Your upgrade probably won't go smoothly. If your machine's
this
not running
true.
Well,
this
it's
is
not
true.
Running well, that's not a reason to go buy the disk and stick it in there and say, hey, maybe this will fix all my problems. Chances are, if it's acting up, giving you blue screens, you have all kinds of malicious junk in there. And if you do an upgrade, all you're doing is carrying that stuff forward. So you really should get your machine cleaned up before, even if you're doing a Vista to Windows 7 upgrade, you really should get it cleaned up before you try to do that in-place upgrade. How many in-place upgrade blow-ups, you know, just people just all over their shoes, right? They're bringing those in droves in our because they're just assuming, I just go buy the upgrade, stick it in there, and yes, that will work if your machine is working well now.
Yep.
But that's generally not the case.
I've had a few people come in with an upgrade that won't even finish booting into Windows 7. No. They've got done with the upgrade, and now it doesn't finish booting.
And there's so many reasons.
Yep.
You know, hardware failure, corruption in the operating system, malicious software, viruses. There's just so many ways.
Maybe I should clarify. I only had Vista installed for about 4 weeks before upgrading to 7.
There you go.
So
yeah,
that's probably why it was...
Let's open up the phones and start out with Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Wendy, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you.
You got a little love to share with our audience on the Mac switch?
I sure do. I just switched over in October. My husband actually made me. He's got one. And when it was time to get a new computer, he bought me a refurbished MacBook Pro. And I love it. Once you go Mac, you'll never go back.
Okay, so I assumed that I'm going to hear that a lot today.
Yes,
you will. Tell me about what things can others learn from your transition. What is it were some of the things that you didn't realize were going to come into play that might help some people out there listening? You know, like transferring programs, transferring data. Did you have to buy new software? What all did you go through?
Well, for me, it was quite easy. What I use it for is for emailing. I'm also a group fitness trainer, so I use the iTunes and have. It was just a very smooth transition for me. I actually got rid of my Daytimer notebook, and my husband took a picture of me throwing it in the trash can because I don't need it anymore. Everything is on the computer, and it was a very, very smooth transition, and I just love it.
Super. So just one last thing.
Yes.
One of the things that the Mac OS gets a lot of big points for, a big bonus over the Windows side, is the backup system.
Yes.
Since you've transitioned more of your life onto that magical box, do not forget that very important part of owning that new Mac.
We actually just bought a, what's it called, the Time Capsule?
Time Capsule.
There you go.
Okay, good.
Yes, we bought it and installed it just 2 days ago because I didn't want to lose any information or anything. So we've got that going on for both of our computers.
Okay, so for those that don't know anything about the Mac, Lewis, explain what a Time Capsule is.
Time Capsule is basically a router with a hard drive built into it. So what it's doing is it's backing up your data wirelessly pretty much every hour on the hour.
So instead of having an external hard drive sitting on your desk, it's an external hard drive inside of basically your networking gear.
Correct.
And it's using the built-in backup software on the Mac in order to do that.
Yeah, which is Time Machine.
Time Machine, right.
So let me add just a little bit more fear in your life, okay, Wendy?
Sure.
So that Time Machine, Time Capsule, Time Machine, all that's great.
Yes.
Let me tell you where it's not going to help you.
Okay.
So that you can be prepared and make whatever decisions you're going to make on this.
Okay.
If somebody were to come into your home and burglarize your home and start taking like everything that they could find electronically.
Right.
And they happen to take your router, which happens to have your hard drive in it.
Okay.
You got no backups.
Oh.
If your home were to burn down, which doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's pretty traumatic.
We've seen it.
We in the data recovery lab see this all the time. And so what ends up happening is people have a backup hard drive, but it was in the house that burned down with their regular computer.
Oh.
So think about ways to get your critical stuff copied off either to CDs, DVDs, put them in a safety deposit box, get an online backup service, flash drives, anything at all for that really critical stuff.
Right.
Make archival copies and put them somewhere safe away from your home. That way, if any of these other things happen, you're covered.
Awesome.
Because it's a lot cheaper to do it that way and a lot less stressful.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Hey, thanks for chiming in.
Sure.
That's going to open up a line. If you've got your switching story, again, I want to hear the the information is going to help switchers understand what's involved. 602-277-5827 or join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. You can check out our links and submit a question of your own. Lots more to come. Stay tuned. Data Doctors are in the house, along with Lewis from Mac Media. It's on!
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The Windows 7 versus Mac OS.
It's 3 versus 1.
No. Clay is a multi-operational...
Hey, I have a MacBook Pro sitting right in front of me.
Multi-generational, multi-operating system. I mean, the reality is, folks, very few of you are going to just, like, forsake Windows and never use it again. If you're in a situation where all you do is, you know, surf the internet and listen to music, maybe. The most likely transition is just you're going to have 3 or 4 computers and you're going to replace one of your Windows machines with a Mac.
Have both.
So you have a Mac. So most of you out there are probably going to become, just like Clay, a multi-operational system. What's the word? We got to come up with an acronym or something.
A bi-system.
Operating system. I can't think of anything right now.
Anyway.
We'll work on that one.
Join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. Check out all the links on things to consider, some comparisons in the operating systems. You know, lots of you out there are looking at buying a new computer. Obviously with all the marketing and all the stuff that's going on and the people calling in saying this is wonderful, it's going to spark some folks thinking about, well, maybe is this the year that I switch, or at least get a machine with that crazy Mac stuff on there, and you know what's involved and how big of a deal is it? It's the point of today's show. Let's go back to the phones here. By the way, we got a couple lines open. 602-277-5827. You don't have to call in about switching. You can call in about anything. In fact, if you're having a problem with a Windows machine or a Mac machine, doesn't matter. We're here to help you with that as well. But Dave, you've got a little something to share with our audience as well.
Yes, I switched, started last December, and I use VMware, so I run both operating systems, Windows and Mac.
So you're now straddling the fence. You've got both of them that you're running.
That's right. And, you know, the challenge is when you go from Windows to a Mac, and you're in a business environment, now there's not a lot of applications for the Mac that really work in some of the business, so you need to have probably both operating systems, so you've got to be aware of that.
So are you a business owner, or are you just in a work environment?
A small business owner.
Okay.
So, you know, some things that you typically would be using, like, some products that, you know, typical businesses would be using, like UPS WorldShip, doesn't work in a Mac environment.
Okay, yeah, right. Those kinds of tools. Okay. But you said you started to make the switch, but basically what you've done is you've basically created a machine that allows you to go back and forth.
Absolutely. Actually, I've done it on 2 machines. I've done it on a Mac Pro a laptop, which, like your first caller, I love. And then I needed to upgrade one of my boxes, so I went to the iMac, and I like that as well.
Now, did you get the 27-inch iMac?
No. This is a 24. I got it before the big upgrade. But, you know, 24 inches is big enough.
But because you're in business, you're basically, you really need both.
You really
need
both.
That transition.
And I think people will find that if you run VMware, which is what the product is that I'm using, and you run both environments, you really then get the best of both worlds.
Now, a question for you. What made you choose VMware as opposed to Parallels or Bootcamp, 2 other ways you can run Windows on a Mac?
Well, frankly, it was my son who convinced me to run VMware with virtual environments. And I've been very pleased with that product. It's been absolutely stable.
You know, the thing I like with the virtual environments is everything is self-contained. So
yep.
If you need to do a restore at that point, it just makes it real easy to get your data back on there.
Yeah, you do a snapshot within a snapshot. And so, you know, like your first caller, I have the Apple backup Time Machine. But frankly, I also installed recently a network. Mini network server that runs RAD for your listeners, RADx, which is two hard drives backing each other up because all PCs fail no matter what, right?
Well, then, no, there's two kinds of hard drives in the computer world,
are.
Right?
Yes.
First one is what?
Those that have
failed, right? Crashed.
Yeah. Failed,
and then
those that are going to fail.
Right.
There you go.
Yep.
There you
so,
go.
So if everybody understands that those are the only two kinds of hard drives, then the next question is, which one do I have? Let's see. I have the one that's going to fail. Okay. So if it's going to fail, come on, folks.
back up.
That's it.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, Dave. Hey, appreciate you calling in. And obviously, you didn't have near the trauma switching because you didn't actually switch. You expanded your horizons, if you will.
Yeah, I'd recommend that for anybody because you're going to find that there's products in the Windows world that are decent products you want to keep, and there's products in the Mac world that are fun, but they are distinctly different. And I think that people find that having both of those will make it easy. The nice thing about running a virtual environment, you can move a file from the Windows environment to the Mac environment by simply dragging it.
I don't know. I think a lot of people are hearing this going, gosh, I don't think I'm that nerdy. This sounds like really technical and a lot of work. Is it a big deal?
Nope, not at all.
Once it's set up. Now, did you set it up yourself?
I did the setup, but all you have to have is an extra Windows license when you load the VMware, and it loads just like. It took me longer to load the Windows in the VM environment because it's a standard Windows, takes hours and hours. But when I installed my Mac, I plugged it in, turned it on, and within 15 minutes, probably 10 minutes, I was done.
You're talking about when you installed Windows on the Mac?
No. When I installed the Mac itself, it was brand new.
Oh, right. Just plug it into your network.
Plug it in, you're done. But when you run the VMware and you install that and then install your Windows, it takes you hours.
So one last question, since you're a business owner, you're doing all this. Does this machine or do these machines also interact on a network with Windows machines?
Yes, they do, and they tend to want to be one way.
Which way?
You can look out, but it's hard to look in.
You're talking about the Windows machines have a tough time looking into the Mac.
Absolutely.
See, the Macs are making it hard.
Well, it depends on how you configure them.
You tweak the settings, but yeah. I know where you're coming from there.
When you're in a virtual environment, you can't see into the virtual world from another Windows machine.
Yeah, see, now we're getting into really complex things. Okay, people's heads are hurting. We're going to let you go, Dave.
All right, thanks.
Hey, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Good point there. If you are a business owner, I wasn't aware that the UPS little applications, there's going to be a lot of those applications that were designed for, again, look at the numbers, 92% of the world is still running Windows. The business world has always, for the most part, run on Windows. You're getting a little bit of transition, but on kind of superficial stuff, because they're not going to go and rewrite all the software for 5% of the market, of which,
what
percentage of that 5% is actually a business owner?
Well, sure. I was going to say, Ken, you've talked a lot about Picasa, I think, on the air before, Google's product for managing your photos, and it wasn't until just recently that they came out with a version for Mac, and I think a lot of companies, a lot of software developers are now, recognizing that market share is increasing.
The cool thing that's going to happen, the good news and the bad news as market share grows, is that the good news is you're going to get more and more of those things that you can't do right now on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Some of they're going to take the time to write it because there's enough people out there. The bad news is the bad guys that write malicious code and try to hack and what have you, they're going to say, well, no, there's enough machines out there now. Let's start going after them.
Oh, and I saw that on this week's links.
Yeah, it's not like Macs are completely they're fortresses and capable of being hacked. They're very capable of being hacked. They just aren't, and it's been proven at every Black Hat convention. I mean, all these hacker conventions out there. In fact, I think that was the challenge at last year's convention was the Hack-a-Mac. I think it took them, 3 minutes?
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Yeah. But boom, they were able to hack in. So
I think the answer we just got is not whether you're going to replace your Windows with a Mac, but if you're going to add a Mac to your Windows group.
Well, again, in his case, he basically made his new purchases dual operating system. And by the way, we've put the Mac OS on standard Intel non-Mac notebooks. I mean, you can do that as well. So there's a couple of different ways to go there. So it's not like you have to buy a Mac to do this. It becomes a lot more complex, obviously, if you're gonna work around that. But, I mean, we got that running on that old 3-year-old Asus. And, I mean, it can happen. So it really depends on what you're doing. What I would suggest anybody that's out there thinking about it, don't make your decision based on the commercials. Don't make your decision based on 2 or 3 conversations you had here. Make your decisions on getting with somebody that can help you understand all the things that are going on specific to you, all the things you should consider, such as your printer, your scanner, all those peripherals you have right now for Windows. Are they going to work in the Mac? For the most part, most of the new stuff should.
How about email? Getting your email across.
Well, yeah, email addresses. And I mean, there's a lot of stuff involved. There's your data. Are you going to, the Mac computers tend to be a little more expensive. Well, Office.
What are you comparing?
Microsoft Office, right? You already own that in Windows. Well, if you're going to go to the Mac, what do you, you have to buy it, right? What's that add to the price?
You know, it really depends on the person developing the software, because I know with Adobe that I've heard from people in the past that if you call up Adobe and say, I'm switching from the Windows platform and going to Mac, they'll actually get you a license code for Mac and then yeah. deactivate the Windows one.
I don't believe Microsoft has any interest in doing that, do you?
Probably not.
So Office and some of these others, you're probably going to have to calculate that in. So the point is, it may be the right thing for you to do, but do it properly and do it. Switch responsibly.
Yep. Do all your research.
From the data doctors.
Compare apples to apples. Don't go compare a $500 HP to a $1,500 MacBook Pro.
I don't know. I just watch the commercials and base all my decisions off of those.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Should be that way, shouldn't it? Again, join us online, not just on our website, datadoctors.com/radio, where you can get all these links, but how about on Facebook? There's a couple of reasons why you might want to become a Facebook fan. One is...
Lots of reasons.
We're posting things. We got a picture of the Three Musketeers in here. You want to see what Lewis and Clay and Robert look like. You've seen enough of me. There are pictures up there. You can also interact with us, ask questions, do what have you. But the cool thing that we're contemplating, and we'd like your feedback on this right now, whether you're a Facebook fan or not, datadoctors.com is our... corporate website, but if you go to facebook.com/datadoctors, it'll take you to our fan page. There's a couple of reasons why you might want to become a fan. One is that's what we use as kind of our warning system throughout the week. So if you get our newsletter, you get that on Friday, you listen to the radio show, that's on Saturday. All the other days that something happens that we think you should be aware of, we post that up on Facebook. So if it's a real important issue or something to watch out for, or the latest phishing scam, that kind of thing, that's the perfect place for us to put that. So that's one reason. Second is we're contemplating doing a little contest where every month one of you wonderful fans actually gets to come in here in the studio, have a little lunch with us, and be part of the show. And you don't have to know how to answer computer questions to be part of the show. You just have to be a fan. You just want to come in. You can read. You can be the one that reads the email questions, right? You can be the one that reads the Geek Speak. It doesn't matter.
We've already had a lot of response on this on the Facebook
page. If you've always dreamed of being a radio, right? You want to be on the radio?
This is your chance.
It's really not that big of a deal.
Well.
But if you do, I mean, if you've never done it, it's cool. And we're about to move to our new studios, which are spectacular.
I've so, yet to see, but heard many good things.
Facebook.com/datadoctors. Check out everything, including Deb, our fan, good friend of mine that's traveling on the road, listening to us from a laptop through a streaming air card in the car.
No, she's not driving while she does that.
She is driving. Okay. She's a multitasker.
Yep. Wow.
It's the Computer Corner back after this. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Lots and lots of people chiming in today. That's cool. 602-277-5827. You can be calling in about anything and everything, including that whole processes thing that we talk about on a pretty regular basis there. Alice, you're calling in about the large number of processes that you have on your computer, correct?
And actually, I'm at my computer right now, and you said to do a right-click and do it, get the task manager, and it'll show you all those things. Right now, it says processes 76.
And Alice, what brand computer do you have?
What brand of computer is the...
It's a Toshiba, and I have this.
We were just talking about
it. We had an off-the-mic bet that it was going to be a Toshiba.
Yep. Uh-oh.
Toshiba is very good at... And Toshiba is not the only company. But Toshiba is real good at making sure that all of the Toshiba-branded programs are running in the background.
Okay.
So they tend to add 8 to 10 processes that are...
Absolutely.
Frankly, I mean, if it was my machine, would not be running, and we'd strip those out of there. But with 76, that means you definitely have some things in there that would be potentially of concern, especially if they're, some of the malware that's out there. So when you have that many processes running and your machine's really slow, especially like when you first open your internet browser, you try to get on the internet, it seems like it's taking forever to get things going. Is that one of the things that you're experiencing?
Yes.
So that's a signature. It doesn't mean this that you are infected, but that is the signature of a machine that's infected with a botnet agent. And botnets are... And
how are you spelling that?
B-O-T-N-E-T, bot, like a robot.
Oh.
What a botnet is a network of compromised computers that that basically this is little zombie program running in the background. And when the guy that is controlling this network, they call it the bot herder. when he decides he wants to wake all those machines up to go do something, they just automatically execute these instructions that basically he's able to control you with. So, and 99% of the world that is infected with botnets has no idea that they're infected. Okay, so that would be one of the concerns. The typical question is, okay, I figured out I got too many processes running. Help me get rid of these processes. And unfortunately, that's not a here's what you do ABC. Okay, I have written columns and we'll post them again on this week's show. We were posted on last week's show. If you want to go through the DIY process where you go and figure out what each process is and then figure out how it's loading and then figure out how to remove it from the startup, remove it from your registry, you have to do that with all the access processes. So this is not something where you just buy a piece of software and you load it and it takes it all out and everything's cool.
Wow.
Okay, so it's kind of like when a physician says, check for certain things, the natural thing is not, okay, how do I do surgery to get it out? because most of us like to work on our own computers. We don't typically do surgery on ourselves. This is like doing surgery on yourself if you don't know how to do it.
Okay,
it's not something that we're going to be able to tell you over the radio.
Bring it into you folks.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like I should bring it into you folks.
Or find someone you trust that can sit down, because somebody's going to have to sit there and really look through all of... See, there's only, last count, I think there's 350,000 different applications, right? And then you add all the non... The programs are not that are not real programs, like all the malicious stuff that's out there. Each one of those things is a process, and you have to be able to identify each one. So it's not like every machine should have the same processes. Every machine is unique.
Okay.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, I was wondering if some of this is the reason why I am constantly getting stopped responding messages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Any number of things can cause that, but likely what's happening is that your machine is juggling so many balls, right?
Yeah.
Before you get it to do anything.
Okay.
Okay. The analogy I like to use, I've used in the past. You ever been to Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. You sit at a blackjack table. So a really clean computer is one blackjack dealer and one player. Right? How quickly does it get around? And of course, you lose your money quicker, but. But all the attention is on you, and if you want something, it's right there and there, right? And then four or five other people sit down, and then suddenly, you know, there's a little less attention to you, okay? In your situation, that blackjack dealer is serving, you know, 30 people at one table, and he's the one running to get the drinks, right?
Okay.
There's no waitress here, and he's cleaning up the spills, and he's being the pit boss, and he's being asked to do so many things that no individual is getting the attention that they would like to get.
See, this is an analogy I can really relate to.
Yeah.
It really makes sense.
Gambling, baby.
Yeah.
Does that make sense, though? That's what's going on. So you need to start, kick a bunch of people off that table, and you need to tell the dealer, look, I just want you to do these things.
Okay.
And unfortunately, that's not something that on the radio I can tell you how to do like that. I mean, this type of cleanup, just to give you an idea.
Where your closest facility was to where I live.
If you go to datadoctors.com and put in the your zip code,
yep,
it'll show you the five nearest locations.
Yep.
Okay. Typically, just to give you an idea how complicated this can be, typically speaking, a machine in your situation, we're going to need for 2 or 3 days.
Ooh.
Okay, because we do a lot of things to make sure, like one of the first
Dove
things we're going to do.
Pure silk chocolate.
Oh, I guess it's time to go to break here. I'm going to put you on hold there, Alice. Hang tight. I thought, did I do something? I thought I had another 45 seconds.
You're pressing buttons.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll repost the how to, you know, those of you that want to try to figure this out on your own, I'll post my column on some of the remedial steps that you can go through if you want to do that. On the website, datadoctors.com/radio. When we come back, we got another hour. We got the Geek Speak of the Week. We're going to talk to more switchers. Andre, please stay on the line. I want to hear what you have to say about your experience in switching. It's the Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media, 602-277-5827.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
"Dope!" It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We're talking about to switch.
Or not to switch.
Or not to switch.
That's the question.
That's the question of the day. Well, for a lot of you, it's a question of the month.
Or the year.
Or the year, maybe.
Or the holiday season.
And that is it, you know, should you switch from your Windows operating system to a Mac? Lots of resources. If you missed hour number one, we'll have everything all cleaned up and edited and uploaded through iTunes and on our radio show website. So fear not, you didn't miss anything. You can listen to it later. Of course, if you have a question, wait for the... actually, we got one line open, 602-277-5827. But before we go on, it's time for the part of the show where we try to bring you a new word. And it would be too easy to use the word of the year, right? Or the new Oxford word
of the week.
No, the Oxford Dictionary chose unfriend as the new word of the year for... No, we come with one every single week for you. And this week's Geek Speak of the Week is...
Last Texter.
A last text. What is a last texter?
Okay, you know, that friend that always sends you a meaningless text after that, I should say, after the obvious end of that text conversation, just to get in the last word or the last text in.
That last texter.
You know, the type of person that will text K back after you. Text them, please don't send me anything right now.
I'm in a meeting. You sound like you're reading something.
I'm not reading anything. I'm pulling this. You know, this is right off the top of my head.
The bottom line is, that got to get that last text in.
And for those of you that pay 5 cents a text, well.
Yeah, just the response of K.
5 cents.
Which, by the way, drives Larry Gatos nuts. It's like, hey, can't you add the okay? My son's got an even shorter version of how to say K. Or at least this is, I'm not sure why he thinks this is.
Lowercase K?
No, it's MMK. MK?
Well, at least he's making a little bit more out of that response.
So there's a couple of reasons that you really need to think about your netiquette when it comes to text messaging. One is if somebody's in a meeting and they have their phone on the desk and it's on vibrate and they say, don't text me, and you say, okay, well now... You know, 30 seconds later, it's going to start vibrating to let them know that you responded with okay, or okay, I won't call you back, or I won't text you now.
There are some of those people out there that do want the recognition that their text was received when sent out. And
there are situations where that's relevant, especially when it's time sensitive. But
probably not when you're in a meeting, though.
Well, when somebody says, hey, I can't talk, don't text me now.
And don't text me back, okay?
They shouldn't have to say, they shouldn't have to take the time to text that out, right? So if you find that you are a last texter,
how do you break that habit, Ken?
Stop texting. Well, the other issue too, Robert, I didn't even think about this. Not everybody is on the unlimited text program.
That's right.
Right. So when you just have some meaningless text back, I mean, that's costing that person.
You know, you can always tell if someone pays per text. They put as much as they can in that text. So you'll read like a paragraph each text. You can tell they're paying per.
I had a friend who didn't. His BlackBerry didn't break things up based on the number of characters that a system would go. So he'd write a big long one, and I would get like 8 texts in a row, which is one, you know, piece after piece after piece after piece.
You know, I've gotten those too.
Yeah, and sometimes because they don't recognize that there's
a
limitation.
Once or twice, I've gotten them in the wrong order too, which had made things really confusing.
Even better, yeah. You get the rest of this in 3 hours.
Okay.
Join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, and you can see the Geek Speak of the Week, as well as all the links for today's show on switching. By the way, an update on our Facebook fan page breakdown. We started a couple of weeks ago lamenting the fact that it was 65 or 62, 61 to 37 or 38 as the percentage of male to female fans we had. And I put the call out there so that, you know, come on, ladies, step it up a little bit here. We need more female fans. And?
The result is
we're now at 58% male, 41% female, and we still have that 1% that's other. And I know what they mean by other because I've met them at a few live remotes. So, you know, encourage your lady friends to become a fan, not not, guys, it's not that we don't appreciate you, but we got enough of you. Facebook.com/datadoctors if you want to check that out. All right, back to the phones here. Let's see what Andre has to say about switching from a Windows machine to a Mac machine. Andre,
yes,
welcome to the Computer Corner.
All right, well, actually from a Windows to a Mac, I have a current Mac computer, which I'm thinking about going from Mac to, I'm thinking about going from Windows to Mac.
You have what kind of a machine now?
It's right now I have a Windows computer.
Right, but what kind of computer, what's the hardware?
It's an XP.
What brand?
It's a Dell.
Okay, and how old is it?
It's about 2 years old.
Okay, and so you want to replace it?
Yeah, and the only reason I'm thinking about I'm contemplating only because I have a because I want to go to a Mac, and I've heard about the Mac VoiceOver. Well, up front, just to let you know, I am blind.
Okay.
A blind person.
Okay.
Which
so,
I've heard about the Mac VoiceOver, which comes with the built-in VoiceOver.
Yeah, I'm real familiar with JAWS and all the other stuff for Windows. How familiar with the any of the visually impaired tools?
Well, on the Mac, they have some stuff built into it called Universal Access. And
right.
They do have VoiceOver. They have Zoom built into it so that you can...
So, Andre, what I would recommend you do is somehow get in front of an Apple machine, right, in front of a Mac, and test this part of it out, because that's a fairly important part for you, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
and in addition to that, if you look on the column that I've got posted, the things that you want to think about are, you know, do you have to buy all new software? Because if you do, you have to calculate that into the price, right? Are you going to try to get existing hardware, printers, scanners, that kind of thing? If you try to use that, you know, that works in the Windows environment, will they work in the Mac? So somebody's going to have to look that information up to make sure that it's all compatible. And then you got to look at any interaction. If you don't interact with other computers, you're kind of a self-contained computing person, then there's no issue with, like, the office or work or another home network or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then finally, the other piece is, do you have people right now when you have a problem, you can pick up the phone and you can call them?
No, not really. I could call right now, but I'm just calling to see if I could access the...
I'm trying to make is if you have people that normally, you know, your friends and family that you call to help you, one of the things that people that are thinking about switching should make sure and do is check around to see that support staff that they have that they can call right now, like 8 o'clock at night, and call their friend or their family member to help them with the Windows problem. See if you've got that on the Mac side as well, because that, you know, I think people forget about that part. That's a really important part of how we all deal with our computers. You know, we got our friends and family that we like to call, and we try to get that going. But in your case, Andre, what I'd strongly recommend is, because you have the need to make sure that the interface, the accessibility interface, or whatever they call it in the Mac world, is sufficient for your use, you definitely want to sit down and experience that before you make that decision. Time to go to a break here. It is the Data Doctors. When we come back, we got the most special fan in the world that's going to join us on the air. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. I forgot I was supposed to make a phone call there. Pete, would you check to see if our guest is there? I don't know if I hung up on her or she's not there. You're listening to the Computer Corner. We're talking about the whole Windows to Mac switch, what you might want to consider before you make the decision, how to compare Windows 7 to the Mac OS, some experiences from others, including one of the columnists at CNET articulates his whole experience about how, you know, the commercials make it sound like it's no big deal, but he kind of went through what he went through in his column to talk about, hey, folks, if you're thinking about switching, do your homework.
Not only are the ads really cool, but when you actually go into a Mac store, they make that experience pretty comfortable. I mean, you're walking out with your MacBook thinking that, wow, you made the best purchase in the world.
I will tell you, I'm seeing more and more, and I just saw it on Facebook yesterday, people saying, I'm a Mac and I'm not happy. Because I think too much of the everything's wonderful has been thrown out there in the public. Yep. And so the expectation is that every time something happens, it's going to be a perfect situation.
Yep.
And we're seeing more and more people saying, you know, some genius.
Yep. They get that ad. They walk in. They have this great experience. They leave. And then the problems.
Well, it's not even that. It's just it's the experience that they're expecting doesn't happen. So, yep. Now, of course, if you go to Mac Media, you're always going to get the experience, right?
Well, if you go into an Apple store, say you get a data transfer from your PC platform to your Mac platform, it may not be as complete as you would like it to be, where they go over everything thoroughly because they're just kind of throwing it in with the sale. You know, someone that's going to sit there with you, go over your applications, find out what your likes and dislikes
are. You mean actually spend time and listen to you?
And actually listen to you.
Yeah, and by the way, and that's the same thing in our business. It's not the technical stuff that gets people into trouble or gets people upset. It's always these simple communication issues, these not following up, not doing what they said they were going to do. And that's what I'm seeing more and more complaints about. Not, oh, the Mac is horrible and whatever. It's the experience, and it's not because of the Mac computer. Just like with Windows, it's generally not because of the machine. It's because of a bunch of other things that happen and kind of get all painted with the same brush. So, all right, before we go on, though, we're going to patch in. Pete, can you patch Deb in for me? This has got to be. I mean, we've gotten calls from Scotland, from the United Arab Emirates, I think was the most unique back in the early days. But I got to say, this is one of my favorite calls of all time. Deb.
Yes, hi.
Deb, my good friend from the Computer Explorers chain.
It is your good friend from the Computer Explorers franchise in Texas.
And you are driving from Texas to Virginia, did I see?
I am. We are coordinated here.
I was going to say, did you lose a bet?
Is a bet? Well, no, we have a lot of gear that we need to take. So driving, and you know, my husband and I, married 30 some years, we just love to be together 20 some hours in a car.
That's wonderful. All right, so
as long as we have our technology.
Okay, but so let's talk about the technology. You have your laptop, and in 20 hours it's going to die, so you have some way to power it up while you're in the car.
Yeah, it's connected. So I have my laptop, and my husband has his laptop. And of course, we've got the air cards going, and connections to the battery that go to the lighter.
And they've got a power converter with them.
Yeah, and then
power converter.
So you have
Go ahead.
You said you have an air card, so you have a data card, data transmission system from your cellular service.
That's right.
Okay, yep. So that's allowing you to do what?
Well, it's allowing me to connect to the internet, so I can do email. I've got Twitter going. I had Facebook. I am streaming from your website, so I can hear your radio show that's live in Phoenix. But we are now, I think we crossed the Mississippi. We're in Mississippi right now, so we crossed the Mississippi line. Because, you know, I've got to connect to you guys every Saturday.
Hey, Deb, this is Clayton. I when Kevin was telling me about this on the break, I was just amazed. I mean, this is the best use of technology we've heard in some time.
Isn't that a statement, though, about where we are today in the world of technology? It's not like, I mean, 10 years ago, that would have been some huge engineering feat, right?
No, it should have almost a military. Big antenna on the roof of the car.
Yeah, and satellite, right? That kind of, just off the shelf. Yeah. Well, Deb, thank you so much. And you, anybody visiting our Facebook fan page, you can see she took a screenshot and we uploaded that up there, and that's why I wanted to have her on. Deb, thanks.
You're welcome.
We'll
thanks, guys.
See you down the road there.
Have a safe trip.
Okay. Bye-bye.
It's our friend Deb from Computer Explorers. We've got another half an hour to go here. 602-277-5827, a couple of lines open. Or join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. See all of the different features we have today for this whole Windows to Mac switch. And we'd love to hear from more people. And again, we're looking for the helpful hints for people that are considering this move, what they should do before they make the switch and not wait until after. The Data Doctors and Lewis from Mac Media back after this. Hey there, if you are a weekly newsletter subscriber, you would have gotten last night's dispatch, free of charge, by the way, and gotten information such as how to use Bing's image search for wallpaper.
Hmm.
One of the most likely places that you might get a virus or malicious software is when you look for screensavers and wallpaper. If you just search regular old search, these guys have set up all these sites so that they know a lot of people are looking for images.
Or those, you know, the little fish tank screensaver, you know, that everyone,
well, they
the
say
rage.
That's what you're going to get, and you end up getting a lot more than you bargained for. So you can actually do, one of the things that Bing has been identified as being better than Google at is image search. So if you go to the image search portion, if you look at our website, or excuse me, if you just read through the newsletter, it gives you the information on how to go about doing that. And you can actually say, tell Bing, I'm looking for wallpaper. So it looks for images that are conducive to that, or sites that have actual wallpaper images set up there. How about spotting phishing emails? It is getting worser and worser.
You can't even use emails anymore. Jeez.
By the way, does having a Mac save you from phishing scams?
Little snitches, my friend.
Little snitches.
Little snitch. I have this application. It tells me what's going out, so I can okay.
No, no, no. Phishing. Phishing.
Oh, for the phishing scams?
Phishing scams.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. So that's another point I want to make. Phishing scams are basically fooling you into giving up information. It does not matter whether you're on a Windows machine, on a Mac machine, you have antivirus software, you have antivirus. It doesn't matter what you have. If you fall for one of these scams, and they're getting better and better. Yep. Right now, the most common phishing scam is the one that's posing as an IRS email. People see that and freak out and go, oh, whatever, and they start filling out information. And usually what will happen is you'll get about halfway through and you go, wait a minute. But of course, by then, it's too late.
Too late.
You've given up some of the primary stuff that they're looking for. So there's a link to a very nicely done resource on CNET on spotting phishing emails. There are signatures. There are certain things that if you train yourself to look for in phishing emails, you can certainly, going forward, not only be suspicious, but have the tools to try to break down these emails to go, oh, wait a minute.
You were just even saying Google search in the subject line might pull up quite a bit.
Absolutely. Anytime, that is one of the best ways to research anything you suspect as being a phishing scam. Is to take any portion of the email, including the subject line, put it in quotation marks in Google, because if it's a big, major phishing scam that's going on, there'll be all kinds of websites talking about it.
Yep.
The other thing is, if you think an email is legitimate, but you want to play it safe, never click on anything in the email, even if you think it's real.
Go to the correct website.
You manually go to your bank's website. You manually go to PayPal. You manually go to eBay. You manually go to all these sites, so that you know you're going to the legitimate site, and then you look to see if the same information is in that area. So if the bank actually was trying to tell you you needed to do something, it doesn't do it through email. But let's just say somebody bumps their head at the bank and they actually do. Go manually log into your bank account, because if there is a user alert or warning, it will show up in that messaging center for your bank software.
Yep.
It's the easiest way to avoid that. But anyway, there's some great resources on that. Our Geek Speak, there's a story in there about how cyber attacks are being are on the increase especially against our military, and mostly from China.
Wow.
And not the Chinese government, but isn't there like 2 billion Chinese?
Quite a few. Yeah.
There is a decent number. In
just doing the numbers, right? That would mean that there's probably more Chinese hackers than there are any other kind of hackers.
Russians are pretty good too.
They are, but they're outnumbered.
Yeah,
pretty soon.
Yeah, I guess it is a numbers game.
As soon as everybody in India has a laptop, we'll see.
Well, don't more people in China speak English than they do here in the States?
No, I think it's 2010.
2010 that's supposed to happen.
The most number of English speaking people in the world will be in China.
Wow.
Here we go. Anyway, check all that stuff out, including I don't know if you happen to be following us on Twitter or seeing the Facebook fan page. Recently, the live anchor system at CNN, I do my weekly CNN segments, CNN decided to make a change, so they basically are starting over. They have no live anchors. We're working through creating our segments as produced segments, so we should be reappearing very shortly here. We just did our first little run.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to Clay helping out. The upside for us is because they're produced, we can actually do more screenshots and maybe even some more informative information on that. So, but watch out for that. But if you'd like to see, I didn't realize, I went back and looked. If you go to the video section of CNN.com, the segments that we've been doing, like when it was like Pipeline, when it was a pay service, It goes back to December of 06.
It goes back that far, huh?
And we did actually segments before then. So you can, if nothing else, you can go, the changing hairstyles of Ken. And you just take the screenshots and go over and over again.
Hey,
right?
Ken, going back to those phishing scams, have you seen anything that was Black Friday related?
I have not. However, I assure you,
there's got to be a ton of them coming out next week.
There will be all kinds of shopping issues, and check this out. But see, the phishing scams are typically, they're trying to look like you are, you're being contacted by somebody you already do business with.
True.
PayPal, yep. eBay. So if it's some, you know,
but what if they
site,
hit you with like an Amazon or Buyduck?
Right, right. Again, yeah, they're pretending to be that. And there's something called spear phishing, which is what they're really getting good at now. You know what spear phishing is?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Spear phishing is when they know you're a Wells Fargo customer. So right now you're getting Suncoast Bank. I don't bank there.
You're getting random chances.
Right. Well, because they're just sending it to everybody, right? There's no targeting. It's just like anything else on the internet now. They're getting really good targeting. They can tell from cookies and things of that nature, or you gave up some other piece of information at some other random website that made it obvious to them that you are part of some network, or you are an eBay customer, or you use PayPal, anything like that. And that's spear phishing is even more deadly, because it's that you're going to more likely fall for something that you actually actively use. If it's some phishing attempt from some entity you don't even do business with. I don't have a PayPal account, so they can't be telling me that my PayPal account needs, you know, I do have a PayPal account. I'm saying if you didn't,
yep,
that's the kind of thing that's going on. So check that out. If you're not a subscriber to the newsletter, if you go to datadoctors.com/help, you'll see all of our free help entities, including my advice columns and what have you. On the right-hand side, about halfway down, you'll see a place where you can look at the newsletter archives, including the corrected version. I uploaded the newsletter last night from the wrong entity and created all kinds of funny stuff after that. Back to the phones here. Bill, you are somebody that's been around computers for a long, long time, yeah?
Yeah, too long, I think.
And even you made the switch.
I did. And by the way, Mac, when you go to a phishing site on Safari, it pops up and tells you it's a phishing site if it knows about it and has a pretty good database on it.
Yeah, I mean, there's that in the operating system for all of the browsers for Windows as well. But unfortunately, these guys know how to get around those filters, too. So
they're getting crafty.
Oh, they're so crafty. So you go back to, you said something off the air. You said you go back to CPM.
I do.
CPM is like
digital research.
Pre-DOS, pre-whatever, right?
Yeah. Anybody who remembers,
this
was divided up into user areas. It's user zero, which you can access from everywhere, and then use the directories. You only have 15 directories, user 1 through 15.
Okay, now everybody's head is hurting. By the way, CPM, because I asked you, I said, if you use this on the air, you got to tell, stands for Control Program for Microcomputers.
Uh-huh.
How lovely. All right, anyway, you converted over to your first Mac when?
I did. I converted about a year and a half ago.
A year and a half. What drove you to do that?
The iPhone. You know, I ended up playing the iPhone.
You're one of the Halo users.
So we heard a signal coming in and out.
The Halo effect. Yeah, you must be on AT&T.
Yeah, of course. it is the greatest device of all time. It's not the greatest phone.
Service.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah, the
service everywhere but somewhere.
Yes, it's less bars and more places.
Yeah.
So anyway, you are here to give the audience some suggestions on how they might make the decision or make the transition a little smoother.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about, and the big thing is, and one thing I mentioned, because I'm a computer engineer, I'm the family support guy, and all families have some family support. There's a girlfriend, a boyfriend, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, whoever. You call when you have a problem, and usually they're the first line for anybody who's trying to get something done. Oh, my God, my email's not working.
Hey, Bill, I'm going to put you on hold, and we need to – it's really – unfortunately, because this is radio, thank you, AT&T. That's a great call.
That's how everybody
great bit
sounds.
Of information. Bill, we're going to have to try to reconnect or maybe do it from a landline because...
Maybe you can run outside.
Yeah.
Everyone that calls me sounds like that. I'm used to it. I can understand everything you were saying, so...
We all have the iPhone, so we can all deal with it.
Those
but anyway,
and glitches and... Yeah.
Couple lines open, 602-277-5827, or join us online, datadoctors.com/radio, or facebook.com/datadoctors, or if you're part of the Twitterverse... My handle on Twitter is the Data Doc.
or
any and always, right?
Data Recovery Pro.
There you go. There's all the whole, you know, we're going to have to come up with a directory from all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Got lots more to come. Stay tuned. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Wrap up here, and then we're going to have our holiday party tonight,
yeah,
aren't we?
Exciting.
Woohoo!
I'm looking forward to it.
We spent the last hour and a half, hour and 45, talking about the switch, or not to switch Mac, to the Mac, I'm sorry.
What have we decided?
I'm already in party mode.
I know.
I can't talk! What we have decided is, it's the right thing for some people, it's the wrong thing for some people, and somewhere in between is probably good for a lot of people.
Do your research.
Do your homework.
Get both.
Read my column, either in the Tribune today or tomorrow, on our website. Gives you specific things to think about. And do this before you make the decision so you understand all the parts.
You know, we talked a lot about converting to Mac, but, you know, Windows 7 is a really cool operating system. If you can get it running at the low processes it should be and not clogged up from all these other brand manufacturers, it's amazing Windows system.
Well, let's dispel some myths here. Just because you get a Mac doesn't mean your computer's not going to crash, right? Because a crash, a lot of people think about. What kind of hard drive is used in a Windows machine?
The exact same type of hard drive, right, that is used in a Mac.
So hardware failure still. I mean, you have a service department.
Oh, we've got people that come in all the right time. What do you mean my hard drive crashed? It's an Apple.
That's right, exactly. But that's what I'm saying. There's been so much hype about how much better the Apple platform is that I think people have huge misconceptions about the whole thing. And I think that's why a lot of people now, you're seeing these people that are upset, you know, saying, oh, I'm a Mac and I'm not happy, and I, you know, because their expectation is unrealistic. It's a computer. It's got mechanical devices. It's going to fail.
And
it's going to have problems with software.
When we're talking about a mechanical device, the hard drive really is one of the last moving components, aside from a fan in your computer.
Or your disk drive.
That's you know, your disk drive. And should that fail, I don't care if it's in a Mac, a PC, a computer running Linux, Unix, you name it.
Yeah, we do.
It doesn't matter.
We do tons and tons of data recoveries on Macs all the time.
In fact, the Mac percentage of data recoveries that we do has been increasing dramatically over the last couple of years, and actually is more than the market share for the U.S.
And so here's a little snippet, I think, of here's my analysis on this. So many people are enamored with this experience that they just assume, well, it's a better computer, so I don't have to back up.
And a better hard drive, of which there is no such thing.
Right. And frankly, from our data recovery lab's perspective, we would continue to love to see, you know, people have that kind of attitude, because you're going to lose everything and you're going to have no choice and have to spend a bunch of money to get this stuff, and that's what the lab is there for.
Exactly.
But it's not. I mean,
we don't want you to lose your data.
No, we don't want you to lose your data. But if, you know, if you just don't want to back up, that's fine. We can help you. What are the common software issues that people have when they go to the Mac?
Well, I think a lot of people don't understand how to get certain things over, you know, like Outlook email, documents and things like that, or know how to put them in the appropriate places. But there are software applications or software with cables that you can buy.
Forget about the – they get through the transition. They've had this thing running in a year's time. What are the kinds of things that a Mac person can expect to experience where they are going to have to call a service company or have some help with?
I mean, it's normally something that happens after maybe a software update or an incompatibility with a software application on your computer system.
So, I mean, Apple's not perfect. Sometimes they come out with an update, and it kind of causes some problems, just like in the Windows environment.
Well, I'd never recommend putting an update on your computer the moment it comes out.
Even in the Apple world?
On any computer.
On anything, yeah. Yeah, he's right.
So, at the end of the day, folks, hopefully what you're getting from this is, there's the Apple operating system, the Mac operating system, the Apple platform is very compelling, no question. But don't just fall for the hype. Don't, because you hear a bunch of people going how great it is. What about the stuff in between? How do you get from where you are to where you're going? How about all those business applications? If you have to do accounting, you have to do, there's a lot to be considered. So the bottom line is, if you're considering switching, A, take a look at the resources we've posted. B, as Bill was talking about, find that friend or family member, somebody you trust, and if you don't have that, then find a professional organization that you trust that you can go to and say, here's my situation, here's what I have, here's where I want to go, or here's where I think I want to go, what are the pitfalls, or what are the things that I need to take into consideration, what's it going to cost me, right? Because you get the machine and then you go, oh, well, then I got to pay, how much is it for the student version of Microsoft Office?
About $150.
$150, you can put it on three machines. But that's $150 that if you didn't think about it, surprise.
Oh, that's something people don't normally plan for is software. They look at the hardware costs. And then they completely skip over software.
And if they're not, if they don't qualify for the student edition, what's a copy of Office run?
Depends on whether you go OEM with the purchase of the computer. It's $199.
So a couple hundred bucks. $150 to $200. Well, that's a pretty big chunk of change, right? That if you'd have stuck with Windows, you wouldn't have had. Not, again, not a reason to stay with Windows.
There's an alternative if you want to go with a program like iWork, which is Apple's response to Office.
Right, or you can go with OpenOffice.
OpenOffice, which is free.
So, but again, now you're switching to stuff where you got to learn not just a new operating system, you got to learn new applications. So there's a learning curve.
But
right?
I'd say, you know, if you're looking to switch, I'd say, you know, make a list of, you know, the current applications you're using.
Check it twice.
Check the hardware that you've got, to, you know, at home, your printers, your scanners, any of those peripherals, and then just, you know, talk to someone that's knowledgeable.
And make sure that if you do have to interact with other computers, whether it's at the office, your home network, whatever it is, that you think about those things. What is it that you need to be able to share and access and do those kinds of things? And how about this? If at all possible, either go to a machine that has both operating systems, that'll help with the transition, or just allocate in your mind, I'm going to have the Mac and the Windows machine running side by side for some period of time. That way, if I get stuck on the new operating system, I can jump back into the Windows machine, get
Great
what
idea.
I have to get done, and then make my transition slowly.
Don't throw out the Windows system.
Exactly.
Yep.
Hopefully that helped anyone and everyone that was considering this. You can continue to chime in on this on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors, or through Twitter at TheDataDoc. Just take a look at all the resources we've got posted at datadoctors.com/radio. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.
Party time.
Party
Clay,
time.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
Lewis, Mac Media.
Thank you. MacMediaInc.com.
All right. Hopefully that helps you.
Data nice Doctors. Little plug.
See y'all next week.